100% Cairns in the tropical north. It's Classic Hits 4CA. If you tune in, let's go to White Rock this morning. Good to have you along for the breakfast show. Well, Evan Lee, he's got his little winter woolly. Well, not quite winter woolies. I guess we'll call them his Christmas woolies because I believe he's in Canberra this morning, so it's going to be a little bit cooler.
Sitting in sunny Canberra.
I can imagine. Warren Inch, good morning. And what type of temperature has got in your part of the world? Maybe been a bit warmer the last few days, though.
Actually, if you're asking that, it's not too bad at the moment. I mean, I've got to say it's been quite warm days, but as we're sitting here at the moment, let's have a look. 15 degrees.
Okay, so that's not too bad at all. Yeah, 15 degrees, especially for this time of the morning. But, well, hopefully it gets a little bit closer to Cairns temperatures. Well, look, talking about temperatures, and I guess that's one of the key things. I do want to talk about mobile towers, but let's talk a little bit more about, I guess, the climate. Long-standing divisions within the government over climate change were evident again during the week when you brought up as the special envoy for the Great Barrier Reef a call for the coalition to adopt a net zero emissions target by 2050. I think 120 countries worldwide have decided to take this on. I guess it's possibly been a brave move in some ways. Tell me your thoughts, Warren.
Well, look, yes and no. I mean, I brought it up in the context of one of my colleagues stood up and argued that the Kyoto credits that we have in place urged that we should use those. And to me, that was quite a provocative thing in itself, given that we don't need to, not by any stretch of the imagination. And so I responded by saying, well, there is others in the room that have a different point of view. If we were to use those Kyoto credits when we don't need it, it would cause a lot of criticism around the world. We don't need to do it. I mean, we are so far ahead at the moment. And I think that the best thing that we can, and the Prime Minister has indicated that he's of the view that we should not need to use them. And I said, well, if we don't need to, let's put that to bed now. Let's just say, no, we're not going to use them. And I also said, while we're at it, I can't see anything wrong with putting a zero emissions target by 2050. Now, you're right, there are a lot of countries out there that have already done that, including, you know, some of our major trading partners. I mean, Japan has done it. There's no doubt South Korea has done it. Even China, heaven forbid, has committed to a 2060 target, whether you can accept that or not. But
sure.
It's nevertheless, it's there. But there's well over 100 countries now that have committed to that. Many of the large businesses in Australia, the big including in the mining sector, have all committed to the target.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying, while we're comfortable, we're going to get there, no problem at all. I'm saying, well, let's take that off the table. Let's make the commitment to that now. You know, and from my role as the special envoy, there are other areas that we need to be focused on, and I'm saying, well, look, let's put that up there. Let's not be. It's inevitable that we're going to have to commit to it because so many of our trading partners and the likes are doing it. So let's just get on and do it now, and let's focus on other things because while the debate stays on that, we're losing sight of all of the fabulous things that we're actually doing in this space in relation to renewables. I mean, we've just finished, they'll be finished this week, a report into hydrogen microgrid. This is up north of the Daintree River. It'll be, you know, we get that up, that'll be the first of its kind in the world.
Mm.
And there's a whole lot of other things that are happening in these spaces that we need to be talking about. I mean, we're about 30% in front of our Kyoto, our Paris targets now, but all these things tend to get lost in the debate when you know the fundamentals, you know, like commitments that we are achieving without any trouble at all are not being made.
Mm.
And so that's what you know, I mean, my work on the reef, one of the things that I learned, and I think we all have to agree, that Australia is being acknowledged and by far as one of the best managers of COVID.
Sure.
Has that been correct? We've come out of this better than almost any other country. in the world, and we're being internationally recognised for what we did. Now, I ask a trick question here, Murray.
Mm-hmm.
What? How did we achieve this outcome? How did we achieve this? Now, this is a question for you, my friend.
Okay.
How did we get to where we are?
And look, you know, I think at the end of the day, we have certain things that work in our favour in that we're fairly isolated down here in the southern part of this little planet that we all sit on. But, you know, credit to the Morrison government, you know, we did act fairly early with respect to a lot of things that we did. And I guess, you know, Australians pulled together. That's my best answer.
No. Well, all of that is correct, but that is not the actual, there is a simple answer.
Mm-hmm.
We followed the science.
Sure. Fully accept that.
We followed everything we did, acting early, pulling together.
Yep.
Everything we did it by following the science. Now, every single premier, every single, you know, the national cabinet, the prime minister, all the decisions that were made by following the science. And in fact, when politics got in the way, as it did a couple of times, there was a lot of criticism on it. Let's get back to the science. Now, accepting that that's how we got to this situation, there's a lesson that we can take from our management of COVID that we should be transferring across to another world crisis. And now we're talking about our climate issues. Why wouldn't we do exactly the same?
I totally agree with you. I mean, science is one thing that we've managed to rely on through the eons. It's got us to the position that we're in as a race and as a group and I guess as a species. I'm with you 100%, and I think science is one of the key things we need to continue to follow.
But what we need to do, though, let's not talk about those on the extremes of either side
sure.
of the science where yeah. they are polarizing and you become almost like a tribal or a religion.
Mm.
Let's look at mainstream science as we did with COVID, straight down the middle. CSIRO, AIMS, all of these, you know, Alan Finkel and others. As a special envoy, I've had the opportunity of sitting down talking to all of these mainstream scientists. And the one thing that I find, even though they are, they play different roles, they all have exactly the same message. And this is the reason why I say let's not reinvent the wheel. We've now come out very strongly and successfully through COVID. Let's do exactly the same thing when we're doing this. Let's do a reset on this. Let's follow the science on it. And, you know, the reality is if we start to be seen to be doing that, a lot of the positive things that we are doing, and there are many, many of many of those things will start to be seen rather than to be lost in the chatter of, you know, of a focus on a couple of points that we are already well on track of achieving. And so I say let's put them to bed. And then let's start focusing on the other things. You know, I mean, you can't ignore the fact that the recent State of the Reef report was very much a negative. You can't today. The OECD has come out and again we had a negative report on the reef. But those operating there, there's lots and lots and lots of positives as well. And I think this weekend, of course, we're going to have the spawning, and it'll be great to see how that goes. And I'm excited to see that. But, you know, let's deal with the reality. And that was the reason why I said, well, rightio, come on, we're doing all this stuff. We're achieving all this stuff. Let's put that on the table now and let's start moving forward and focusing on all the positives that we're doing.
And look, I'm with you 100%. I think regardless of your political view, that central position and relying on science is one of the key things. And look, you know, people talk about UNESCO. They talk about, you know, if we're using those carbon credits, it's the wrong thing to do and that, you know, we'll basically get dissed by other people. They go, we don't care. At the end of the day, we do care because we're players in this world. We're not sidelined. You know, we're players in this world, and I think that's the important thing, is that we don't just ignore the will of the international community. Look, we got to run, but I do want to just quickly talk to you about the cyclone season. That, I guess, is all part of what we're generally talking about. And extending the battery pack, backups in some of our mobile phone towers, that's an essential thing that needs to be done. So I believe you're working on that, Warren, too.
Well, we are actually. Again, this gets back to science. This gets back to new technology. We're actually retrofitting three of the towers that were actually done in one of the earliest rounds of the black spot rollout. There's one in Cairns. There's one at Warrambool, which is up near Mossman somewhere, and one at Cape Trip. What we're doing is we're retrofitting battery packs to those. In the case of two of them, that will give you 12 hours of service if there's a failure, and the other one will be 15 hours. So it means to say, if there is a failure in the case of Cape Trip, if a generator falls fails, you'll still have 12 hours or 15 hours of service there to give you an opportunity to reconnect and make it, you know, get it going again. And so we will go through now, and over a period of time we'll retrofit all of those towers that don't have it, so that we got that capacity.
Yep.
And what's even more encouraging is all the new towers, from now on there will be a requirement for batteries to be included, as there is, Murray, now for any new energy, wind or turbine projects. They will be required as part of the project to include batteries, as we have done up in Lakeland, so they then have baseload power capacity. So no, it's good. It's good news. It means to say that if we lose power, we don't lose mobile phone.
And look, that's a great thing, especially with the cyclone season just around the corner. But just to add general discussion this morning, I think you've spoken very, very powerfully this morning, and I certainly accept that position. I think that's the only position, only reasonable position that we can take. I've got to run. Speaking of
just
talking,
you
I
go,
always like
just
talking
before
to you.
You go, yeah. Can I tell you one thing? The batteries, it is all Australian technology, design and everything else, and they're made in Thailand.
I was going to go down that track, but I thought, I'm not going to open that can of worms. But Warren, great to talk to you this morning.
Collaboration between Australia and Thailand.
That's excellent. Now, look, we've covered some really important stuff, so I enjoyed talking to you.
Okay,
you take
mate,
care.
All of it.
And say hello to Yolande for me. Cheers.
I certainly will. And I still don't take I do take offence, actually, that you show favour to her, my beautiful wife, and not to me. I just find that quite offensive.
My audience is with me 100%, Warren. Have a great day.
See you, mate. All the best.